I'm talking to you from the subject automatic consciousness, automatic success and prosperity. And the text that I'm going to read at this time is from St. Matthew, the 6th chapter and the 33rd verse. And these are the words of Jesus. This is one of my favorite Bible verses. I just love this verse of Scripture, and we're going to examine it, and we're going to get a blessing from it this day. And remember, as I say, that these are the words of the Master Jesus, and I want you to shout them back at me as I shall read them. Seek you first.
Seek you first.
The kingdom of God.
The kingdom of God.
And His righteousness.
And His righteousness.
And all these things.
And all these things.
Shall be added unto you.
Shall be added unto you.
Now, for emphasis, I want to read it again. And all of you folks here today, you can thunder that back at me even more loudly. Because here is the secret of the subject, which is automatic consciousness, automatic success and prosperity. Right in this text, you can establish such a consciousness of God, such a consciousness of good, that your success and prosperity will be automatic. Isn't that interesting? That's why the rich get richer. It's just automatic after a certain point. Once you get the consciousness of something, from that point on, it's automatic. Isn't that interesting? Why, you just take, for example, why, once you get the first million, it's all over. You get the first million if all you do is get 10% interest a year, effective annual yield, and that's a conservative point of interest. Why, that's an automatic $100,000 a year interest, just at 10% effective annual yield. So from that point on, your success and prosperity in terms of that kind of money is what? Automatic. And certain things work automatically, like poverty works automatically too. It depends upon what kind of automatic machine you're on. And I'm trying to get you on the automatic success machine. I'm trying to get you on the automatic prosperity machine. Why, the old man J.D. Rockefeller established an everlasting trust of money for every one of his descendants that ever will be born. And up there at Rockefeller Center, they have nothing but rooms and rooms and rooms and rooms of financial managers that do nothing but count and invest Rockefeller money. It's automatic. But what is this thing that makes us automatically successful? What is this thing that makes us automatically prosperous? What is this thing that automatically adds to us all these things? The Master Jesus tells us right here in this verse of Scripture. I was on a show in San Francisco two Fridays ago, and one of my good friends and supporters that I hadn't seen for a while, June Lockhart of the Lassie series and others, happened by the studio at the same time and came in and joined me right on the air. And people began to call in, because at a certain point in the show they let people call in. And so one man called in and said, "Well, Reverend Ike, where does God and Jesus come in all this prosperity and success business that you're talking about? As you are here in the San Francisco area to teach people how to be prosperous and successful, but what does that have to do with God? What does that have to do with Jesus?" Listen, the secret is right here in the words of the Master Jesus. You know, if people would... You know, some people carry that Bible under their arms day in and day out and don't know what the heaven's in it. I said heaven now because we have some of the saints from Philadelphia here. We have a busload of the saints and friends and supporters from members from Philadelphia, and I don't want to shock them. They're saved. Those of you who are not saved, you can translate it into your own tongue. I mean, it's amazing. People carry the Bible around under their arms some day and night, argue about the Bible. And they sing about Jesus and they shout about Jesus. But you've never heard what Jesus has said. Listen again here to the words of Jesus, Matthew, the 6th chapter, the 33rd verse, and shout it back at me. And this was the verse of scripture that I quoted to the young man who called me while I was on the air in San Francisco. Jesus said, seek you first.
Seek you first.
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 The kingdom of God.
The kingdom of God.
And his righteousness.
And his righteousness.
Okay, you got that part?
No.
First, the kingdom of God. Say it. First, the kingdom of God. That's first. And his righteousness. And I call righteousness right action. Let me hear you say right action.
Right action.
Now you see where the automatic is coming in here? Once you find the kingdom of God in you, then right action begins to take place. Come on, why don't you make the motion and say right action?
Right action.
Come on, right action.
Right.
Right action.
Right.
If you're going to the bank to transact some business, go in there with the words turning over in your mind. What are they?
Right.
Right action. As you go to your job, as you go to your business, as you think about the good you desire to be, to do, and to have, what are you going to say? Right action. And I like to sometimes add another word and call it divine right action. Come on and say it. Divine right action. So you get your mind lined up with the kingdom of God, with the mind of God, with the consciousness of God and his divine right action. Now listen, here comes the automatic part. Are you with me? Still reading the words of Jesus from St. Matthew 6:33, and this is what happens, Jesus says. And all these things.
And all these things.
Things.
T-H-I-N-G-S.
T-H-I-N-G-S. All these things.
All these things.
Shall.
Shall.
Be. Added.
Unto
me. That's automatic. So don't tell me that things don't have anything to do with God or the Bible or with Jesus. If you get your heart right, if you get your mind right, if you get your thinking right, then divine right action will begin to happen in your life. And everything you need will begin to be added unto you. It will be a case of automatic success and prosperity. Say with me, automatic success and prosperity.
Automatic success and prosperity.
All right, you may be seated. And let's consider the lesson here for a few minutes. Look on your lesson sheet. A person is both God and man. God in his inner nature, man in his outward nature. I like to say it like this sometime. God in man as man is God.
God in man as man is God.
Well, some of you got it. I'll throw it to you again. God in man as man is God.
God in man as man is God.
That's just another way of saying something else that Jesus loved to say. Jesus loved to say, I and my Father are five. Good Sunday school students. I and my Father are one. And when Jesus said, I and my Father are one, he was not just talking simply for himself as an individual. He was trying to show the oneness of God and man to everyone. He was trying to show each one of us our oneness with God. So we may say it with personal pronouns in this manner. God in me as me is God. Let's hear it.
God in me as me is God.
And you see, you must permit this consciousness of God to build its kingdom in your mind. Honestly, ladies and gentlemen, your mind should actually become the kingdom of God. And the kingdom that God endeavors to establish is the consciousness, the very presence, the very power of God in you. That's God's kingdom, and that's where it is. And Jesus said on one occasion, the kingdom of God isn't going to come from some outer observation, for lo, the kingdom of God is where? Within you. That's why I'm not waiting for the kingdom of God. Because if the kingdom of God appeared outwardly and you didn't have it inwardly, you couldn't discern it anyway. Now, not only is consciousness automatic, and automatic means what? Self-acting. Say that. Automatic means self-acting. Not only is consciousness automatic or self-acting, but consciousness is the only thing that acts. Consciousness is the only thing that is anything, or that does anything, or has anything, or becomes anything. The infinite says in the Bible, I am God and there is none else. Say that. And of course we know that I am is formless self-awareness. We're still talking about consciousness, mind. In all your desiring to be, to do, and to have, you are never to seek things. I'm going to give you a key. You're never to seek things, because connected with the same text that we just read, Jesus said, all these things do the Gentiles seek. And you're going to see there on your notes where it says that the Gentiles are those who do not know the Lord, those who do not know the law. Those who seek things are the Gentiles. But Israel are those who know the law of consciousness, and they seek the kingdom. They seek the state of consciousness in which all things exist. For all things exist only in its correlative state of consciousness and nowhere else. To experience a thing, we must enter into the state of consciousness where it exists, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. All things exist first in and as consciousness. The consciousness of being, doing, and having the good you desire must first be sought. Seen within. The mental equivalent must first be attained, then the things will automatically be added. And not only is consciousness automatic or self-acting, consciousness is the only thing that acts. Consciousness is the only thing that is anything, does anything, has anything, or becomes anything. I am God and there is none else. When you encounter a problem, seek the answer state of consciousness. And the answer state of consciousness is a peaceful, joyful, praiseful, thankful state of consciousness. And the answer shall be added unto you. Live in the answer state of consciousness, and you will continually, automatically, and easily experience the answer to every situation. Now, we've been throwing this word consciousness around for the past few minutes, and some of you may be slightly new to this, so let's go back up a couple of paragraphs on the lesson sheet, and I have printed here in large type these words. The consciousness of a thing is the thought and the feeling of it. Say that.
The consciousness of a thing is the thought
All right, say it again. The consciousness of a thing is the thought and the feeling of it. All right, so first of all, if you want something that is good, you don't seek the thing first. You first of all establish what? The thought and the feeling of it. Now, when Dorothy Ward, who had been on that job for 19 years and had become a supervisor, wanted to leave her job in the middle of a depression and start her own business, first of all, she established in her mind the thought and the feeling of being in her own business. Ladies and gentlemen, another way of defining the kingdom of God in you is to say that the kingdom of God is your thinking, feeling nature. And you are to establish the kingdom of God in your thinking and feeling nature so that you're always thinking God's thoughts. You're always feeling God's feelings. You're always thinking positive thoughts. You're always feeling positive feelings. And if you establish the thought and the feeling of being, doing, and having the good which you desire within your mind, then all that is necessary will be added unto you. It will be automatic success and prosperity. Now, if you have a problem, I said you find the answer to that problem by establishing within yourself a peaceful, joyful, praiseful, thankful state of consciousness, and the answer will be added unto you. Live in an answer state of consciousness. If you find yourself always constantly going from one problem to the other with no answers, you need to say, hey, let me establish an answer state of consciousness. Let's all say that. Let me establish an answer state of consciousness. And then within your heart, you begin to thank God. You begin to praise God. You begin to worship God. You begin to think like God thinks. You begin to feel like God feels. And in that state of consciousness, answers will just automatically begin to happen in your life. So I have some affirmations here in the middle of the page, and I'm going to have you repeat them after me. I live in the answer state of consciousness.
I live in the thought and the feeling of the answer.
I am is the answer.
Thank God.
Praise God.
Praise God.
You know what I find happening to me sometimes, and it's so beautiful? I discover that I've had some problems after they have been solved. Isn't that beautiful? I say, isn't that beautiful? And you know what I want to do? I want to live more and more in that answer state of consciousness so that I discover my problems after they have been solved. Woo! Can I have one more whoop?
Woo!
Let's say it. Come on.
Woo!
All right, come on. Let's get into this kingdom of God, this kingdom of good. And repeat after me. I want to live in that state of consciousness.
Where I discover my problems.
After they have already been solved. Now you can live in that state of consciousness if within your thinking, feeling nature, you just live in the praises of God. You live in the thanksgiving of God. If you live in the joy of the Lord. And just praise God and thank God from the depths of your heart continually. And as the song says, if a problem comes your way, just lift your head and say, hallelujah, anyhow. So ladies and gentlemen, this is a beautiful way to live in an answer state of consciousness. And the answer to all of your problems can happen automatically and will happen automatically if you live in a consciousness of praise, a consciousness of joy, a consciousness of faith. I love the verse of scripture that tells us what God said to Moses. God said, I have made you God to Pharaoh. The God-conscious man or the God-conscious mind is God to materiality. And as I say, that may be a little heavy for some of you, so let me tell you right where it is. Exodus, the 7th chapter and the 1st verse. Got it right there on your lesson sheet in the middle. Do you see it? Because I know some people get a little touchy when I talk about, you know, the Reverend, aren't you trying to say you God? You haven't heard what I said, have you? Now, this is God talking this time. Reverend Ike's going to shut up. Shut up, Ike. All right, now here's God. Exodus, the 7th chapter and the 1st verse. And this is what God told Moses. Come on, repeat it after me as I read it. I have made you God to Pharaoh. Oh, gee. To tell you the truth, man only has one problem, and that one problem is this: he does not know who he is. When Moses discovered that he was God to Pharaoh, he got up and marched out of Egypt. He got up and marched out of slavery and led God's people with him, even though they didn't want to go. They'd rather be slaves, some of them. It's like some people, you know, they're not ready to take their divinity and be self-responsible. Oh, no, Reverend Ike, I've got to have my devil. I got to have somebody to blame. But God says, I have made you God to Pharaoh. I've made you God to your problems. Let me hear you say, I'm God to my problems.
I'm God to my problems.
My problems are not God to me.
My problems are not God to me.
Anybody here who's got a problem, stand up. Let's get rid of them right now. Let me get up on the top step here. I'm going to show you how to work on those boogers and get rid of them and handle them. I have made you God to Pharaoh. I have made you God to everything that's trying to push you around. Isn't that wonderful? I have made you God to the economy. Whee! What are you doing whining about the economy and whining and whimpering and getting the heaven whipped out of you? As I'd say, if the saints from Philadelphia weren't here, I'd talk a little differently. So repeat after me, God Almighty,
God Almighty
has made me God to my problems. So I got something else to tell you people too. God has even made you God over your body. You'd better tell that leg to straighten up and walk right. He's made you God to your heart. What are you going around talking about heart trouble? Talking about heart attack. You never saw any heart attack anybody. A heart has never attacked at anybody. People attack their hearts. With worry and hatred. But look who you are. God said this. I have made you God to Pharaoh. To materiality. I've made you God to your fears. Oh my goodness. Can you shout, wow?
Wow.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I have made you God to everything that troubles you. So stop talking like a slave. Stop thinking defeat. Stop acting like you're defeated. I've made you a God to Pharaoh. I've made you God to whatever is binding you, and whatever is binding you can only hold you as long as you let it. And I'll have to tell you again and again and again and again about that experience I had with a man in Boston years ago who came to me crying like a whipped dog, like a beaten puppy with tears coming down his face. He was literally drowning in his own tears. Oh, Reverend, I've had a curse on me ever since that old woman put this curse on me. I've had bad luck ever since that old woman put a curse on me. And you can laugh, but he wasn't laughing. He was weeping. Everything had gone wrong in his home. He couldn't get any money. When he did get some, it went right through his fingers like quicksilver. He was whipped. He was beat. I looked him right in his face and I said, "Brother, nobody can put a curse on you without your permission. And if you want to get rid of that curse, you just have to withdraw the permission." He said, "Reverend, how do I withdraw the permission?" I said, "You just stand right up and say, 'Right now, I withdraw the permission.'" He straightened up and wiped his weeping eyes. And he got his lungs full of air and he shouted out, "Right now, I withdraw the permission." Next thing, his hands went up and he began speaking in other tongues like a Pentecostal and praising God. What happened? He took back his God power. The only power that can hurt you is your own God power that you give to people and things to use against you. You better remember the power that God gave you. Listen again and again and again. Hear the Almighty saying, "I have made you a God to Pharaoh." Come on, say it with me. I have made you a God to Pharaoh. See, I don't care what your condition is. I don't care how bad off you may think you are. I don't care how poor you may think you are. I don't care how down and out you may be. God says, "What are you doing down there? I've made you God to circumstances." What are you doing whining about the economy? I've made you God to the economy. How dare you say you're out of a job? You had better be about the Father's business. The very nerve. Your father is rich in houses and lands. He holds the wealth of this world in his hands, of rubies and diamonds, of silver and gold. His coffers are filled. He has riches untold. You're a child of the King. You're a child of the King. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. What if General Motors shuts down? What if Chrysler shuts down? What if welfare shuts down? The Lord is my shepherd. What if they elect a Democrat president? What if they elect a Republican president? The Lord is my shepherd. You'd better do like the Master Jesus did. He went into the temple and consulted with the doctors and the lawyers, meaning he was studying the law of God. And when they said, "Why weren't you out here with the rest of the throng, with the rest of the crowd?" He said, "Don't you know I must be about my Father's business?" And if you're unemployed, you're just not about your Father's business. You'd better know, first of all, that you're employed by God in the biggest business in the universe. And I have got news for you. God ain't going out of business. Now, Emily Post isn't here, and we're going to do this in love. So turn around, shake your finger at as many people as you can and say, honey, God ain't going out of business. God ain't going out of business. No, God ain't going out of business. 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 Woo! God ain't going out of business. God ain't going out of business. Say it. What did you say? What did you say? Well, why are you whispering? Say it! Glory to God! Glory to God! Glory to God! So you get busy as the first psalm says. Why don't you read the first psalm this week in particular? And the first psalm says that blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Don't you listen to all that stuff they talk about on television and radio and the newspaper about the unemployment rate. You've got no business walking in that ungodly counsel. Nor standeth in the way of sinners. You're not supposed to think like the world thinks. You got a better understanding. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Stop scorning what God is in you and what you are in God. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And listen to this. I don't care about recession, depression, repression, or unpression. In his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be as a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. That's the business I'm in. Before you leave here today, you get one of these study guides at the bookstand and get your head in it this week. All right. Mortgage your wig and load up on Reverend Ike's cassettes. Listen to them. I listened to 5 hours of them this morning, all the way up to this door. I put them on early this morning when I woke up. And every time one played out, I put another one on. While I was in the shower, out of the shower, while I was running, I had my cassette stopped around me and in my ear. That's being about the Father's business. And God will lead you to the right job, to the right place, to the right people, to the right money. And the fact is, instead of you having to beat your brains out looking for this, looking for that, looking for him, looking for her, they'll come looking for you. Let me hear you say again, automatic success and prosperity. Please be seated. Let me finish this lesson. Now, the closing portion of this lesson, I want to say something to you about communion. Do you see the word communion there? I want to read to you the paragraph just above that, and I put a square around that on my lesson sheet. You do the same. Put a square around that paragraph just above the big word communion. And I'm going to teach you good Christian folks something about communion that perhaps you have never known. Here it is. In the communion ceremony, bread represents thought. And wine represents feeling. When thought and feeling form a union concerning an idea, its manifestation results. Communion means common union. union of thought and feeling concerning an idea. Keep your thought and feeling united in the consciousness of the answer, in the consciousness of the good that you desire. The Lord's Supper is nourishing the mind with positive thought, bread, and intoxicating the feeling nature with the good desire. Have you ever prayed for God to give you something or to do something for you, and even though you didn't see it with your physical eyes, you could feel it? That was the wine. You see, on the day of Pentecost, when the disciples were baptized with the Holy Spirit, or the Spirit of wholeness, they were drunken, but not with alcoholic wine. And they were accused of being drunk. They were full of the feeling. They were full of the God feeling. They were full of the good feeling. They were full of the healing feeling. They were full of the success feeling. And in order to be successful and prosperous, you've got to drink the wine and eat the bread. You've got to eat the bread and nourish your mind with the Word of God, the Word of good. You've got to drink the wine and get drunk with the feeling of the answer that you desire. I mean, you've got to be drunk. Back to the day of Pentecost for a moment, the Apostle Peter said, now they're not drunk as you suppose. So I didn't tell you to go out here and get a gallon of Ripple. Or Irish Rose. This is the wine of the Holy Spirit. You see, bread is the thought which nourishes, feeds, and sustains the mind in the good it desires. Wine is the spirit which intoxicates the mind with the feeling of fulfillment. Get full of the feeling, the spirit, the wine, I say, and fulfillment will bring fulfillment. You must become full of the bread, the thought, the Word of God, the Word of good, and drunk with the wine, the feeling of the good you desire. A drunk man believes in his fantasy. What did I say? Some of you are reading it like you don't know what I'm talking about. Some drunk men have been known to see pink elephants. I have never been a drunkard in my life, thank God. I just could not drink myself into oblivion. That's not my idea of a good time. But I have seen it. I'm thinking now of one man in my youth, you know. We used to board out in the country sometimes. And this man on Saturdays, he'd go to town and stay all day, and he'd come home riding his horse late at night, and you could hear him for miles coming down the road. And so when he'd get home, I remember he got home one Saturday night, he called his wife and said, oh, he said, my head is going 80 miles an hour and my body is going 40. So a drunk man believes in his fantasy. Over in the spiritual counterpart, a person who is drunk or intoxicated with the feeling of success and prosperity, with the feeling of the good that he desires, he too believes in his fantasy. He too believes in his vision. And the Bible says where there is no vision, the people perish. You must become drunk with the Holy Spirit, the feeling of wholeness. Be not drunk with wine, but rather be filled with the Spirit. Let us stand for the closing prayer of affirmation to this lesson. All right. The treatment is on your lesson sheet. And as we are about to read it, I'd like to give this summation by saying that if you get your thinking, feeling nature full of the bread and the wine, the thought and the feeling of the good that you desire, your success, your prosperity will be automatic. One minister said these words. He says, whenever you have a problem, it's not really a matter of what to do, but how to feel. Reverend Ike says, tell your feelings how to feel. And I like to tell again and again about the man who was on the ship, and the ship was apparently sinking. And the captain and the crew were trying to get all of the passengers off into the lifeboats. But this particular man was just sitting on the deck sunning himself while everybody else was scurrying into the briny sea on lifeboats. So finally one of the crew came over to him and said, "Sir, can't you see the boat is sinking? Why is it you're not getting off? Why aren't you getting into one of the lifeboats?" To which the man replied, "I have not lost my peace. And so I don't believe that the boat is sinking because I just haven't lost my peace." The peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your heart in mind. And I'll tell you this, if you have your thinking, feeling nature baptized with the Holy Spirit, with the Spirit, the feeling of wholeness, divine completeness, no matter what goes on around you, you'll be all right. Examine your feelings daily, because that is the wine. So how do I feel about myself? And deliberately learn how to control your feelings, and don't let your feelings control you. Whatever you want to be, whatever you want to do, whatever you want to have, eat the bread. Nourish the mind with the word of good, the word of God. Nourish your mind with the thought of being, doing, and having the good that you desire. And intoxicate your mind with the wine, the feeling of being, doing, and having the good that you desire. This is communion. And that union between right thinking and right feeling will bring about automatic success and prosperity. Affirmative treatment, will you repeat after me? I am full of the bread and the wine.
I am full of the bread and the wine.
The thought and the feeling.
The thought and the feeling.
Of total well-being.
Of total well-being.
Health, happiness, love, success, prosperity, and money.
Health, happiness, love,
I daily nourish my mind,
I daily nourish my mind,
and intoxicate my feelings,
and intoxicate my feelings,
with loving, positive, good ideas.
With loving, positive, good ideas.
This keeps my life full of blessings of every kind.
This keeps my life full of blessings of every kind.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, God in me.
Thank you, God in me.
And so it is.
It
cannot be otherwise, and I rejoice because of it. Thus endeth the lesson.